You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 412, and we're here to preview the Michigan State matchup with Notre Dame. Randall's here as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going good. It's always a good week when you're coming off a win and you're getting ready for a rivalry matchup.
Some of my most pleasant Notre Dame football memories are from playing Michigan State. Now, there's also some disappointing ones, but there's the one, actually both of them were at Michigan State. Brady Quinn.
That would have been nice.
Brady Quinn drove the Irish back from way behind. I think they were down like 21 points, and it was in the driving rain. Brought Notre Dame back for the win, and it was at Michigan State. That was a fun game to watch. Unbelievable. And then the other memory was of Tom Zbikowski stripping. I mean, he basically just took the football away from, I think it was a running back. It may have been a wide receiver off a jet sweep, but I think it was a running back. And it was close to the goal line. Just ripped it away and ran the other direction. And I'm pretty sure he got the score.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you have such good memories. Michigan State has always, I've never been that excited about the matchup. I mean, I'm more this year than I was in past years. It was just, I don't know, part of it probably was because Michigan State just wasn't that hyped up team. It wasn't a Michigan. Like, I'd much rather play Michigan than Michigan State.
I hate Michigan. And it was much, just,
there's
much
been
more.
Some heartbreakers with Michigan State. I always remember the fake field goal. It was just horrible. And actually, I did watch Michigan State twice last year. When they played Notre Dame, and then I was at the Penn State game where when they played Michigan State. And I actually almost got run over by L.J. Scott, the running back. Kind of got bored and went out. Actually, I just went out to find the restroom. And Penn State's locker room isn't, like, attached to the field. Like, they have to walk through the crowd to get to the locker room. Like, at Notre Dame, they have the lower bowl.
Yeah.
And you can walk around. You're inside the stadium, but you can walk around the lower bowl. Well, they walk through that lower bowl.
Really? That is
and
weird.
And so I didn't know that. And I was just walking along, and all of a sudden, like, I had to jump back because Scott had gotten injured, and he was walking through there with two of the trainers. And he literally almost walked into me. So, anyways, it's been – it's always a tough game with Michigan State. And the home team – it seems like the away team – has come out on top. Well, they have come out on top more often than not in the past couple of years. Actually, the last 4 years, it hasn't been so, the last 5 years, it hasn't been so as much. But in the last 14 games, the visiting team has won 9 times. It's kind of leveled out a little bit last couple of years. But for a while there, from 2001 to 2007, the away team won every year. So home field advantage hasn't mattered, and last year, obviously, Michigan State came into South Bend and beat Notre Dame, and we thought it was going to be a good Michigan State team. Well, it turned out
we also thought it was a good Notre Dame team and a really good Texas team.
But the good news is that now looking back, I'm glad Notre Dame lost because I think they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. I mean, Niles Morgan even tweeted out a picture talking about getting revenge next on Saturday. So Notre Dame is on the good side. They feel like they have to make up for last year. Last year turned out horrible, so it didn't really matter if they got the win or not. But this year, it could.
Let's look over some of the numbers for Michigan State compared to Notre Dame. And the spread for this game, even though it's at Michigan State and Michigan State is undefeated, it is a 4-point favorite for Notre Dame. And usually the home team gets about 3 points. So if this would be a neutral field, Notre Dame would probably be favored by a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I do think that's about right. Somewhere between 4 and 7 points, I do think is where this is going to end up, as you'll see from my score prediction coming up a little bit later. Now, Michigan State hasn't played any powerhouse program like Notre Dame has, but they did to open up their first 2 weeks, and they did have a bye week last week, but they beat Bowling Green, and Bowling Green is awful. Michigan State beat Bowling Green 35-10, and Bowling Green has gone on to lose their next two games, so they're 0-3. Western Michigan was also, Michigan State defeated them as well, 28-14, and they're 1-2 on the season with their only win coming over Idaho. So, by no means, I feel like I know less about Michigan State at week four than I did about Georgia at week two. Because at least with Georgia, I felt like I knew defensively who they were going to be. With this Michigan State team, I don't know, and partly because they're coming off a season where there has been more chaos than what Notre Dame had to go through.
I know, that's the crazy thing. Here's actually a team had a worse record than Notre Dame last year and a worse offseason than Notre Dame did. So as much, it often seems like Notre Dame has more drama than anyone else. Well, here's a school that has had more drama than Notre Dame.
And number-wise, Michigan State is scoring 31.5 points per game. Notre Dame's averaging 39. They're giving up on defense 12 points per game. Notre Dame's giving up 18.7. And then both these teams are giving gaining a decent amount of yards. Michigan State is gaining 460 yards. Notre Dame's at 490. And Michigan State is a little more balanced, 200 yards passing, 250 rushing, whereas Notre Dame's at 160 passing, 330 rushing. But one of the bigger differences is what they're giving up on defense as far as yards go. They're giving up just over 200 yards per game, about 112 through the air and 91 on the ground. So, and again, these are weaker teams that they've played too.
Yeah.
Compared to Notre Dame. But Notre Dame's giving up 200 yards through the air and 150 on the ground.
Yeah, and I did, already did the interview with Connor Muldowney, and we'll have that up tomorrow. But he does cover Michigan State. And yeah, he has good things to say about this defense. He actually thinks the fans feel like it's going back to the 2013 defense that they had. So, but it's hard to tell. I mean, they played Bowling Green, and what was the other team?
Western Michigan. Two areas where Michigan State is definitely good is on their red zone offense. They're about as good as Notre Dame is. They've scored.
About Notre Dame is number one, tied for number one in the country.
They're pretty close right now. They're 7 of 8 scoring touchdowns. And they did have one fumble in that the one time they didn't score, it was a fumble. But when they get to the red zone, they've been converting touchdowns.
Yeah, and talking about fumbles, they do fumble the ball. In two games, they've had 4 fumbles. So that will be something to watch for. Notre Dame has recovered 3 fumbles so far in 3 games, so definitely something that seems to go in Notre Dame's favor.
So let's stay with their offense then and talk a little bit about their quarterback. Different quarterback than normal, not just your guy that sits back in the pocket and throws darts. This is a guy that gets it done on the ground. In fact, he leads the team in rushing right now, which is shocking, and he probably won't be leading the team. He won't be leading the team, you know, by the end of the season. I think that's very unlikely. But he does have 150 yards on the ground, and then their next, their running back has 125 yards on the ground.
Well, Connor, talking with him, he said that Brian Mularkey.
Mularkey?
Close. he's actually being compared to Kirk Cousins. So that's obviously Kirk Cousins is a very good quarterback. And which I'll throw this in now, Michigan State, I know they did last year, I have to check this year. I think they had the most quarterbacks in the NFL. And you don't expect quarterbacks to be coming out of Michigan State. But anyways, he can run, and he's had some big runs, and so the coach have actually have designed runs for him since he's good at it. But the big reason the running back, he has more than the running backs, is because of the offensive line. They have three good running backs, and the offensive line just hasn't created the holes for them that they needed, and so it's not as much on the running backs as it is on the offensive line. But Lewarke is a dual threat. I mean,
and speaking of his passing game, it's impressive. He's a sophomore. He's completing almost 65% of his passes and averaging just over 200 yards per game. His touchdown to interception ratio is 4-1. And then when we compare that to Wimbush, he's completing just a little bit over 51% and is at 163 yards per game. And his touchdown interception ratio is 2-2. So we are facing, I know we talked about it on a recap, that so far through the first 3 weeks, the quarterback rating for the opposing quarterback has been higher than Brandon Wimbush. And I still have a lot of confidence, and we'll talk about Brandon a little bit later, but I do have a lot, of faith and confidence. I do think Brandon's going to get it figured out. I think it's just experience, getting confident, and trusting the weapons and the protection around him. But definitely, I do expect that this will be another week where the quarterback on the other side does look a little bit better, at least in the passing game.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that. I would say his quarterback rating is going to be higher.
Yeah. All right, I'm done talking about their offense. I want to talk a little bit about their defense.
Well, the offense, I mean, they have three running backs. They're having a little bit of issue, you know, with the offensive line. And, you know, some of it is on the running backs as well. They still got to try to get something out of that. The offensive line, Brian Kelly mentioned they're athletic. And they are. The left tackle actually played tight end in high school. So it's not too often that your tackle was a tight end. But they do have a freshman on there. They have a senior and a freshman and two sophomores on the line. So the most experienced player is their center. So I guess we'll find out what Tillery and the other interior guys can do against this. They struggled a little bit, you know, getting pushed last week. But they do have an experienced center. And Connor also mentioned the wide receivers are extremely talented. So one of them was recruited by Notre Dame, and which one was it? We saw him last year. Anyways, they do have talent at the offense, at the playmaking position. So that's about all I got for the offense.
All right, defensively, one thing that really stands out is their third down defense. And again, a little asterisk here, it has been against some lower or weaker competition, but their defense has faced 28 third downs. How many, Randall, do you expect would have been converted? And compare that to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's defense has faced 51 third downs. Obviously, that's in three games versus two games. But Notre Dame gave up a little bit over 25% third down conversion, which was 13 out of 51 attempts. Out of Michigan State's 28 attempts, how many conversions do you think they gave up?
I'm trying to think. I don't know the number. I know they are number one in the country.
I'll give you a major hint. In their one game, they only gave up one third down conversion.
So it's got to be like three or four.
It's low. Yeah.
What is it at?
It's three.
That's good.
It's incredible.
That's bad for Notre Dame since they cannot convert third downs.
Well, one thing we heard so much of last year was, oh, we got to stay ahead of the chains so we're able to convert and convert third downs. We can't be in third and long. And definitely against Michigan State, that is going to be the case.
Yeah, not a good sign. Like I had mentioned, Connor said that they do, you know, it looks like the defense they had in 2013, which they called the no-fly zone. And he said it looks like it's getting back to that. And there's a lot of young guys on the team, so they're kind of changing the culture and trying to get that defense back to where it has been in the years past.
In Brian Kelly's press conference, he did say that on third down, they do have special packages, and they are able to bring pressure bring pressure to the quarterback. So Notre Dame, I feel like, has had a lot of success this season, and it sounds like Michigan State, traditionally, who has had better luck on the defensive side of the ball anyway, but they're definitely also able to bring it on third down.
Yeah, and just an interesting note on the defensive line, both of their defensive ends are former walk-ons, which, that's whatever, that just means they weren't ranked very high in high school, but, you know, fans tend to look down on that. I mean, if you know it's a former walk-on, you're like, they're not that good. But both defensive ends were former walk-ons, and they've obviously exceeded expectations.
But starting defensive ends.
Yes.
Wow.
So maybe the announcers can get it right this week when they're talking about walk-ons instead of Drew Tranquil and saying that Drew Tranquil was a walk-on.
Well, this will be the third different production. We'll have Fox on Saturday night, so we'll see if they do a better job than what we saw last Saturday.
Then in the linebacker group, they got some good linebackers, but the middle linebacker, Joe Bocci, number 35, is a guy to watch for. I think he's their leading tackler. He had 10 versus Bowling Green, but knows what he's doing, and he's definitely a guy that Notre Dame's offense needs to watch for.
Yeah, you said Joe Bocci or Bocci. Yeah. Yeah, he is our leading tackler. He has 21 on the season.
That's in two games.
Yeah. And I'm just going to look up his tackles for loss here, too.
He had half one versus Bowling Green.
Yeah, he has three tackles for loss on the season.
So, and against Bowling Green, he led the team with 10 tackles. Second was Chris Fry with 5. So
Notre Dame might need to scheme away from him.
Well, he's in the middle of the field, so.
Well.
But, yeah.
Just not go up the middle. Hit the perimeter.
Which is a bad sign, because it seems we can't get to the middle of the field at all.
Yeah.
But.
Did you say his number? That way it's.
Number 35.
Number 35, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I've got for Michigan State. Do you have anything more, Randall, before we go through Brian Kelly's press conference and talk about the different position groups?
Michigan State is coming off a bye week, so that is something to remember. I don't know if Notre Dame's opponents schedule it like that, but it seems a lot of them do come off bye weeks. It happened last year, and it happened this year as well. But I
don't believe that this is going to piss off every Notre Dame fan. I'm not.
Well, this early in the season.
Yeah, I know.
It would make a difference. If it was the end of the season, I could see it make more of a difference, but I think it's in Notre Dame's favor because they've only played Western Michigan, Bowling Green. They haven't even played a good team yet. And then they have 2 weeks off to think about this Notre Dame game. And I think they're going to be a little bit rusty and not quite ready to go. So Notre Dame needs to take advantage early.
Until Notre Dame starts winning again, I'm just not convinced that.
What do you mean? They're 2-1.
I mean, until they start winning on a regular basis, getting 8 to 10 wins every single season, then I'm not convinced that other teams put forth their best. Like, I'm not sure if they fear and get up for Notre Dame like we always talk about in here.
I bet 30,000 to 40,000 Georgia fans will differ with you.
I don't know. I mean, I find it hard to believe when Georgia is that was a special game because we never played Georgia. And I think Notre Dame was also amped up for that game too.
But
these teams that we regularly play, like, and they're rivalry games, so yes, they are hype on both sides, but I'm not convinced that Michigan State or Michigan gets more amped up to play Notre Dame than what Notre Dame gets amped up to play them. I hope not. I hope Notre Dame gets equally amped up.
Yeah, but I think both teams are.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking more of maybe like Boston College or...
Yeah.
Some teams where Notre Dame doesn't need to get amped up to win.
Well, Notre Dame isn't going to play Michigan State for a while. Next game is scheduled in 2026. Something might change, you know. Maybe they'll add a game in there, but it'll be a while. So whoever gets the megaphone trophy is going to have it for a while.
I guess this is what I'm trying to say. I think it's more that Notre Dame just isn't that good, that it is the other team is really getting up to play. And I'm not talking about this season. I'm just talking about, in general, the past five seasons when we've always heard, oh,
yes,
you know these opponents are just, they play so much better. This is their bowl game. They play so much better. I don't know.
Yes, it is.
Well, if it is, then Notre Dame just needs to be better. Needs to be good enough to win.
Well, yeah. They're going up. It is. It's Notre Dame. If you beat, you know how it is. Notre Dame's always in the national news. Whether they lose or win, there's always something about Notre Dame. So it's a big deal to beat Notre Dame.
Okay, let's move over and talk about Brian Kelly's press conference. Brian Kelly was asked about Josh Adams. How do you use him to keep him healthy throughout the season? And Brian Kelly said they monitor him throughout the week of practice, and they definitely lessen his load during practice so that they have their best player at his peak performance or ability for Saturday. And so I guess we can assume that we're going to keep on getting a heavy, heavy dose of Josh Adams. I am concerned. I'm concerned he's going to get nicked up because it just looks like he's getting wore down at times. It looks like at times he's getting a little bit worn down.
Well, last week he ran with a vengeance. And I'm fine with this. I do like Dexter Williams. I want to see it out there. But I also like the one running back system. I mean, the main guy, better than trying to switch running backs all the time that we were worried about. You know, I did have an issue with the Georgia. If Josh Adams isn't doing anything, then try something else. That's where I'm at. But I think Josh Adams, what he's been doing, he should keep getting carries he's getting. And Dexter Williams can take the chances he gets. And, you know, if Josh Adams does get banged up a little bit, I do think Dexter Williams is ready to go and can contribute.
I think so, too. And I definitely love it when Notre Dame is able to bring in some of these backups in the fourth quarter when the game is out of reach, because I think it helps keep them hungry and engaged. And Dexter Williams hasn't played a whole lot, but he has been engaged. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that.
Even on special teams.
Did you hear Brian Kelly's comments about, they were talking about also on Josh Adams. Brian Kelly was asked, you know, what did you see in him that made you think that, oh, this could be a player that would be this dominant at Notre Dame? And then he made the comment, well, didn't Sampson and Priester have him as a five-star?
I didn't look that up. I figured he was saying they might on the scout site, but I wasn't sure he was ranked lower and he was making a...
No, but
he wasn't ranked very high on a lot of recruiting sites.
I know he wasn't ranked high, but I don't even think Tim Priester and
Sampson.
I don't even think they were the scout back then.
Well, the site they were with. Yeah. They still had their own ranking. But what I thought was interesting about that is, obviously they do look at those rankings. Spoiler, stars don't matter, but he must have been looking at something.
I just think he was just halfway trolling them.
I don't know. I didn't look into it. I don't remember
what they had ranked as. He's made comments in the past. I don't know if it was last year or the year before where he called it either their blog, or maybe he did call it their website, but I think he might have called it their blog.
Yeah.
I wish Brian Kelly would be talking about Irish sports talk. I mean, even if he is halfway poking fun or... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I was going to check into that, and I didn't get time today. I want to see what they have ranked, because each of the sites has their own ranking system. So, but Josh Adams wasn't ranked very high, and a lot of it had to do with his injury.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking about it, and people weren't excited about him even getting an offer because of his injury.
And Brian Kelly said what they saw in him, and correct me if I'm missing some of this, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield, a good blocker, and was it a strong runner?
Well,
there was a couple kind of just like basic things.
He mentioned he could tell that he knew they could have a big back. He could put on some size, that he was going to be a big back, and just kind of the type of person he was, his leadership. Just
and they did mention catching the ball too out of the backfield. And definitely a good decision by the coaching staff. He's a captain. and has had an outstanding Notre Dame career.
Yeah.
Brian Clay was also asked about Brandon Wimbush's accuracy. And Brian Kelly said he has all the confidence in Brandon Wimbush, and he thinks it, or he said it's just, it's not mechanics. It's just being comfortable. And he said he only has one established wide receiver. And I think Brian Kelly was talking about one receiver that he's had a repertoire.
Perfect.
However you say that. Only one receiver that he has had history with. But they had all of the spring and all of the summer and fall.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, we did talk about it on the forum some because, you know, they should establish the, you know, it's kind of like the quarterback system last year, which there was an article about this. Was it ND Nation? Or something about how
recently.
Brian, yeah, it was on the forum. We talked about it on the forums how Brian Kelly doesn't figure things out or name the starters until it's too late. And so it's like last year, which I do agree with this, last year the quarterback situation.
I agree with last year.
That hurt Notre Dame. They could have won that Texas game if that quarterback situation would have been figured out before.
Yeah.
And then, so the theory is that that might be part of the problem with the wide receivers. But I do not agree with that. There are too many. I think this is actually the wide receiver's fault. Because you can look at different things. You know, even Chase Claypool dropped pat. He didn't put in a lot of effort in practice. I mean, we've seen it and we've heard it too that, you know, his in practice, it's kind of half-hearted. The guys have been dropping passes. When they've gotten in there, they've dropped passes. Not so much last week, but they've dropped passes. And there's just different things that it is on the wide receivers. And so, but to hear Brian Kelly, you know, he did say that he doesn't have that, you know, connection with the receivers. And some of it's timing. He doesn't trust the timing. And so it is frustrating to see that. You know, it'd be nice to have the starters know exactly who they are. And so that he can establish that relationship and the timing, get to know the time stuff. But it would be good, but I think a lot of it's still the receivers. I don't think it's a matter of Brian Kelly, you know, just not deciding who to put in there.
Yeah.
But he mentioned, he said maybe it's not a good analogy, but he mentioned baseball. You know, if you, I don't even remember how he said it exactly with baseball. Basically said Wimbush isn't, he's too hyped up. He isn't getting settled in, and so he's overthrowing it.
Yeah.
Because most of his passes are overthrown. And, he mentioned that when he is set and comfortable, which it's the corner fade, which was to
Durham Smythe.
He said you saw that. That's one of his favorite passes to make, and you could tell it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a matter of getting settled down, reading things, and
I still think we will see it. This season, I do think that we'll see improvement throughout the year.
Oh,
and I'm sure there's gonna be some. It's not gonna be linear. There's gonna be some ups and downs, but I do think overall it's going to be trending up.
My theory is that also in one of these games, he's gonna break out. You know, like 250-300 yards passing,
and
it'll be a surprise.
And Brian Kelly was asked, you know, in practice, were there any indicators that he would struggle with accuracy? And I don't think Brian Kelly really answered it. But he definitely made it clear that he does have all the confidence in him, which, even if he doesn't, you want to hear that if he's a starter.
Here's some numbers. In the last two games, this doesn't count the first game because Alize Mack dropped some passes, but in the last two games, Wimbush is 7 of 8 throwing it to Alize Mack, and to EQ, he's 4 of 16. So who knows what all goes into that, but you know, we do know he does like throwing it to Alize and EQ. I mean, you can kind of tell they're some of his favorite targets because I think he kind of skips over some of the other guys to get to them.
And then with the wide receivers, we do have back in our starting lineup, we have Cam Smith back there again.
One more thing with the quarterbacks. I feel like I always do this. One more thing, add it to the thing. But
like Steve Jobs.
Brian Kelly mentioned, you know, how to improve that thing with Wimbush. And he did talk about, he did mention, you know, they could go against number one defense. And just to get him more ready for the game.
Brian,
I don't know if they
did. Brian Kelly didn't mention that. That was the...
He said it.
He did?
He said that's one option.
I thought that was the report or the... Yeah,
but
reporter.
It didn't sound like... He didn't say if they did or not. But he said that's one way he could do it, or he could have more film study. But he said the big thing is he just got to be more demanding of Wimbush and get it figured out instead of just running it and he gets it right once and move on to the next thing. They're making sure he has it or he's got it down. So anyways, on to the wide receivers.
Yeah, Cam Smith back in the starting lineup. And that leaves Chris Fink starting in the slot, EQ at the W. I don't know. I still expect Chase Claypool has been disappointing. I mean, he has had opportunities but has dropped passes and has not made plays when he's been out there.
And that was when we talked about the wide receivers, you know, having it put on them. I think Chase Claypool has been a little overhyped because of his play and special teams. The plays he made that were so impressive were tackling and were on special teams. They weren't actually catch. They weren't receptions in a game. But Michael Young was another guy. Brian Kelly said he can say being used in the screen pass and the jet sweep. And he was asked if he's, you know, like a downfield guy or has the speed. Brian Kelly just saying he can do a lot more than just a downfield guy. So he said he's multidimensional.
This still makes me curious what's going to happen with Stepherson. So it kind of sounds like there's an unspoken 4-game suspension. And so that would be coming up after Michigan. I still feel like, I mean, he could step in and be a contributor if given the opportunity.
Yeah, but he didn't even travel with the team last week.
Well, if he was suspended, why would you?
Well, I do think he's suspended.
Yeah.
But who knows?
So.
Oh,
yeah.
Another tweet that went out, Wimbush. Let me get the exact quote, but he did tweet out, we don't know what he said, but he tweeted out today, "A lot of miserable people on this social media platform, LOL." So I guess you can take that either way, but I'm guessing that he was probably reading some of the stuff about his passing game last week.
After setting records for Notre Dame football in the running game.
Yeah, exactly. And here's another record that's coming up, that he will break this year. I know he will. The rushing touchdown record for a quarterback at Notre Dame is 10 in a season. He already has 6 after 3 games. He's going to break that record.
I agree. Okay. Other position groups to cover? Anything on the offensive line? Or tight ends?
Not really. I mean, not too much has changed since last week, so.
And then anything on defense you had wanted to talk about?
I had mentioned that Niles Morgan is had posted a picture on Instagram saying he's out for vengeance. So they are. I like to hear that they actually do pay attention. They do remember that they lost last year, and that it is playing into that.
All right, that's all I've got. Make sure we'll do our score predictions yet. Make sure to tweet out, or did you have something else, Randall?
No, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Be sure, Saturday before the game, tweet out your score prediction, and we will tweet out a reminder for you that you can reply to. So, our score predictions. I do think this is going to be similar to the Boston College game in some ways, where it's going to be kind of grinding it out, and I don't think Notre Dame's ever going to get going quite like they did against Boston College in the second half. But I do think they'll put up enough points to win the game. I think we'll have to rely on some kicking from Justin Yoon. So I'm picking...
Hey, you're liking Justin Yoon this week.
So I'm picking 27 points for Notre Dame. And then defensively for the fourth game in a row, I think Notre Dame will keep the opponents to 20 or fewer points.
Wow.
So I'm picking Notre Dame to win 27-20.
Well, it almost looks like you've been looking at my score prediction. But, yeah, I expect Notre Dame to win this game. Even though Michigan State is, you know, they say they're looking better on defense. It's still, they've had a bye week, and they haven't played anybody good yet. And I think that will hurt them. They're playing at Michigan State. Notre Dame lost last year. They're going in there to get revenge. Brian Kelly even mentioned the trophy. So they all know about that trophy. And the fumble, I think, is going to play. I think Notre Dame's going to recover a Michigan fumble at some point in the game. And I think it will be close. I do. I don't think they'll ever break away like they did against Boston College. And I'm going with Notre Dame 27, which we're the same on that. And then Michigan State 24.
Hold it. We are close.
So mine doesn't quite cover the spread. So, but I do think Notre Dame can come away with the win. I hope it's a lot more than that, or a bigger win than that. But it is Michigan State. There is some history between the coaches as well. I don't think they're too...
I
don't think they go out for beers on a Friday night.
I watched the interview of D'Antonio previewing Notre Dame, and he was very respectful and talked about, you know, how this is a good Notre Dame team, and talked about Brandon Wimbush and Drew Tranquil and how they're a good football team, and how he does have respect for Brian Kelly. And I think there's definitely... They both struggled last year mightily, but I do think there is mutual respect because they have both been head coaches of programs that have done very, very well.
Yeah.
So,
and when I was on Twitter working on getting somebody to call the podcast, I found a Twitter site. I don't know if the guy is a Michigan, how much he covers Michigan State. I think he does for a small site. But anyways, he had tweeted out earlier, and then he tweeted out again. He was like, just a reminder, Brian Kelly killed a kid. And which is obviously the guy following
kidding?
Off the
suit.
But he had tweeted it a couple times.
I can't believe you would tweet that. That is
and
so
then his,
dumb.
Then his banner on his Twitter was a picture of Brian Kelly, the purple face screaming Brian
yeah.
Kelly. So,
what a loser.
So
hopefully our listeners and Notre Dame fans aren't like that.
Well, anyways, I enjoyed the good thing about this game is there are Michigan State fans right around here. That's what's fun about these local games. Michigan State's only like 2 hours away.
Yeah.
And it's a night game, 8 o'clock. Both teams badly need this win, but I think Notre Dame will prevail. So,
all right. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.